March 4th, 2018. So let's talk about Kaddish this morning, and perhaps we'll make this a two-class series of sorts. I specifically was thinking about Kaddish recently for three reasons I think I collected. Firstly, yesterday evening, someone had a pretty long conversation with me about the community's custom regarding Hatzi Kaddish. Yeah, that's one conversation. I don't even think we'll touch on that in these two classes. Secondly, on Purim morning, someone delivered, probably from Joey Sid, delivered five books to the Knis. Joey Sid and his organization are republishing and printing for the first time many Tishubot from many of the Halabiya rabbis of 200-300 years ago. And so one of them was Shelot Tishubot from Rabbi Ephraim Lanyado. And Rabbi Ephraim Lanyado lived 250-300 years ago. He has in there, and I look forward to reading it, he has a correspondence with his contemporary, Chacham Yitzhak Harari, who's the author of Sefer Zechor LeYitzhak, which is a keeper. And they're discussing the following issue, upon which I have a little bit of grounding. I'd like to see their take on it. And they're discussing, can a katan, a child below the age of 13, say Kaddish, and can he be motzi that sibur with tefillah? Which sounds like, could he say Kaddish? Of course. But the question was, could he say Kaddish and be motzi others as a hazan? Why would it be any different? We don't put katanim up for hazan. So that's what got me thinking about this as well. And lastly, I was on a conference maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and then in the context of one of these lectures that someone was presenting, the issue of women saying Kaddish came up. Now, they weren't discussing it from a practical standpoint, although several people had wondered about that. They were talking about it from halakha perspective, and it's got a lot of history. It's got a lot of literature on that matter. In our community, it's probably never seen. I might speak wrongly on that, but it's rarely seen. In the larger spectrum of Orthodox Jewry, classically, going back 100 years, there were many women, and continue to be a good handful of women, who say Kaddish, and so I won't discuss that either today, but at some point, maybe in the next class, would like to touch on that as well. But today, what I'd really like to address is the history of Kaddish. Now, Kaddish is probably, arguably, the most popular part of our tefillah. I mean, there's been, Ronnie said, there was an article in the New York Times about it just less than a week ago. Leon Wieseltier wrote a best-selling book called Kaddish or Kaddish. Kaddish is a prayer that to many people is very near and dear, specifically because it's what connects the family of people who have a deceased, a loved one, to that passed one, and they're able to connect through prayer, of course, a year and so forth. And the question is what the origins of Kaddish are, what Kaddish actually means, and so forth, which are oftentimes confused and not fully understood. So just the words in Kaddish, if you analyze the words in Kaddish in Aramaic, or you look at the English translation, so you'll notice there are a lot of alliterations, a lot of citations. There's a lot of citations from different books in Tanakh, specifically from the book of Daniel, others from the book of Yeshayahu, some from the book of Tehillim, and specifically speaking, all of their contexts are Mashiach, eschatological. They're all talking about Yemot HaMashiach. Kaddish seems to have an overtone of Yemot HaMashiach. It's a prayer which was composed clearly with Mashiach on the author's mind, or on the author's mind. They're thinking about Mashiach, they're talking about the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the context of Yemot HaMashiach. So that's interesting to have in the backdrop, already while thinking about the fact that we connect it today with a yatom, with an orphan. Well, if we're looking to the future, to the Yemot HaMashiach, so it makes somewhat sense to link the two together. Is that its origins? Is that where it began?
Is it the Tchiyat HaMetim aspect?
There's Tchiyat HaMetim in there as well. But the context specifically is about Yemot HaMashiach, even divorcing it of Tchiyat HaMetim. But we do have specific mention in of Tchiyat HaMetim. So let's just take a look first at the most classical sources on this matter. Gemara and Masechet Sotah. Gemara and Masechet Sotah, Daf Mem Tet, Amud Aleph. The context is not important, but the statement in the Gemara, it's an Agadic Gemara. Ve'ela alma amai kamekayim. What is the world standing upon? What's it? How is it sustained? Quote unquote. Answers the Gemara. A kiddusha de sidra. Firstly, on kiddusha de sidra. Kiddusha de sidra is after uvalision, right? Ve'ata kadosh yoshev te'ilot Israel. We say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh in tefillah. That is one of the prayers which, in some sort of metaphysical, mystical fashion, is upholding the world. Ve'ayehe shemeh rabba de agadita. And the second one is Yehe Shemeh Rabba. So those are words we're familiar from Kaddish. Of Agadita. What does Agadita mean? Loser midrash, in other words, learning. So the Gemara talks about, in this context, one of the first and the only context in the Gemara in which we talk about Kaddish, Kaddish is specifically referred to as linked up with study of Torah. Right, it's Amen Yeheshem Eraba of Agadita, of studying of Torah. Gemara Masechet Berachot, I mean, you can't go much earlier than Dav Gimal Amud Aleph and Masechet Berachot. There's only two pages before it, only Bet Amud Aleph and Bet Amud Bet. And here's the first mention of Kaddish. Ela b'sha'ashi Yisrael nichnasin lebatei knesiyot ulebatei midrashot. So already a trigger that we're probably dealing with, well, it's just not a problem, because the statement is revealing that where it's focused on post-Mikdash, right? Batei Midrashot, Batei Knesiot. Ve'onin, and they respond, Yehe Shemeh Gadol Mevorach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mena'anei Arosho, Kivyachol, God nods his head, as they say, Amen Yehe Shemeh Rabbah. Ashrei HaMen, he says, Ve'omer Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalesin Oto Bebeto, כך מלו לאב שהגלה את בניו ואוי להם לבנים שגלו מעל שולחן אביהם. So what's the metaphysical recreation of God in this circumstance? I can't believe that I've exiled my children. So I mean, that very much connects with the content of Kaddish. Content of Kaddish is about Yomot HaMashiach, it's about getting back there. You say these words, you're kivyachol reminding God about the fact that we are in Galut and we don't belong here and so forth. Now, when are we saying these things? In Batei Midrashot, Batei Knesiot. Who is saying it?
Everyone.
Or the Chazan. Or something. Israel or Onin, Amen Yeheshem Rabba. Who's saying the actual Kaddish? I don't know. No, it doesn't say in either one of these two Gemarot that it's orphans that are saying this. The first one seems to signify we're connecting it to Talmud Torah. The second one has it in Knis, it has it in Midrash. But what about our classic conception or our modern day conception of Kaddish as being something that's interlinked with the passing of a close one?
Which Kaddish are we talking about?
I don't think it matters. The Gemara doesn't tell us which Kaddish we're talking about, but the Gemara just refers to Amen Yeheshem Rabbah.
Well, modern day is three.
So says Michael, today, listen, we have several Kaddishim. We have Kaddish Titkabal, which is said at the end, the conclusion of a prayer. We have Kaddish Al Yisrael, or Kaddish Derabbanan, we'll call it, which is after study of Torah specifically. And then we'll have Kaddish Yatom, is a Yeheshem Lamar Rabbah, which only generally mourners are saying in different parts of the prayer. Which one are we referring to? The Gemara doesn't distinguish. And the Gemara never gives us a full text of any of them.
But maybe it's just referring to the first five clauses.
It's possible. But isn't it a little odd that the first source, which is telling us the importance of Kaddish, says it specifically linking it to the study of Torah? In other words, what the other Kaddishes are not as important. This is the good one.
I agree,
but maybe the studying Torah and Batei Knesiot. It doesn't tell us one way or another. So it's number two. I want specifically to show us that it's not linked up to mourners. Or at the very least, it's not overtly linked up to mourners. Source number three, so that's Talmud, and that's Emoraim. Moving forward a little bit, Midrash Mishle, I think we generally trace back about 1,300 years. We trace it back to Bavel, 8th century or so, early 8th century, it's written al seder mishle, the pesukim, and so here's this midrash, this ancient midrash, the Bishmael Omer. Bishmael is the name of a Tana from the time of the Mishnah, but again, it was composed later with those names. Bishashi Yisrael ne'esafim bebate midrashot. So right now, all we're referring to is midrash. Vishom'in agada mipi hacham, and they hear agada, they hear the Talmud Torah from the rabbi. And then they respond, Amen Yeheshem Rabbah Mevorach, or Mevorach. Be'ota sha'a Kadosh Baruch Hu Sameach Mit'ale Be'olamo. At that time, God is elated, Kivyachol. Ve'omer Malachi Asharet, Boru Am Zeh She'yasarti Be'olami, Kama Hem Meshabbechin Oti, Be'ota sha'a Malbishin Oto, Hod Ve'ahda Lekach Ne'ema Berov Amadrat Melech. So this is all interpretation or exegesis on that word, that pasuk, Berov Amadrat Melech. When it comes down to it, the Midrash is specifically zoning in on study of Torah. Again, this one's explicit only about Batei Midrashot, and explicit only when there's study of Agadah. So it means the earliest sources we can touch on are not mentioning Kaddish in the context even of prayer in its general sense. They're linking it to the study of Torah, specifically. And they're certainly not linking it directly to mourners. Yes?
Is there a significance to the fact that the focus is always on onin, meaning not a matter of who's saying it, but a matter of the fact that the kahal is responding, and that seems to be the focus of the chobah?
I mean, it might even further our, maybe this is what you mean, it might even further our understanding that this is not in the way that we envision it today. In other words, this was some sort of communal prayer in which everyone involved themselves by saying Amen Yehi Shemei Rabbah. That was the key part, as opposed to saying this is a prayer for uplifting a soul. Yeah, point even, taken, yes?
Even today, I mean, the real meaning of the Kaddish is just to make, at the end of every section of the Tefillah, over at the end of every section, even when we say the Torah, many people are scared to say Kaddish after, Mashlim, but it's really like it's a mark, or we're just saying, okay, this part is over, we are blessing whatever Hashem, with the Kaddish, right. and now next section is...
So listen, Avi, I agree with you on two points. Firstly, you're divorcing it from mourners. That's what you've done, which is not everyone would agree immediately to that statement, because it certainly doesn't seem that way. Secondly, you're designating Kaddish as being a conclusion. There's one time, and men can appreciate this one, that we seem to assume that Kaddish is a leading in. Where is that?
It could be there all.
Where is that? No, when do we assume it's leading in? Well, I don't know if it's in Kaddish. Well, maybe before Kaddish, albeit, I don't know. But on right before Musaf, on Rosh Chodesh, right, everyone, every year you say the Kaddish, and then everyone's quiet. Nobody talks. Before we say Musaf, we take off our tefillin, and everyone's quiet. Why are we all quiet?
It's supposed to be kafsir.
From what to what?
No. To the
from Kaddish to the prayer. That's
no,
general
Kaddish
conception.
Kaddish is the end of Shachrit. That's why you don't take your tefillin off till after.
So then you should be able to talk.
We just don't talk because people are going to start Amidah.
No, it's not the reason why. The reason people don't talk is because they think that, because there are sources for this, that Kaddish is linked up to the Amidah. And as a matter of fact, I just read, waiting.
I guess because people are used to Kaddish before the Amidah.
Okay, but again, are those closing? Like, obviously, generally speaking, we view those as closing.
Musaf is not closing. Is
leading in or isn't closing? If it's closing, so then there's no reason not to be able to talk. I was sitting in a waiting room several times the past few weeks. I have books that are lighter reading for those types of places. So there's a book by Rabbi Meir Mazuz. Now, he's not light reading, but his books are sometimes easy to read in these types of circumstances. So his latest book is called Migdolei Israel. It's Chelek Dalet, his fourth version. So his books, Migdolei Israel, are his ranting and ravings about any rabbi that he decides is important enough for him to write about. And so he writes about, in the last one, his most important one, his father, Rabbi Matzliach Mazuz. So he says his father would almost make a point of talking Divrei Torah at that point in Tefillah, and he would explain to everyone, Kaddish is a closer. If Kaddish is a closer, so why shouldn't we be talking? Now Rabbi Mazuz himself, his son, points out, well, there are different sources that see this differently, but that was his father's understanding, so we're consistent on this. Kaddish is always a closer, but when it comes down to what we're dealing with over here is in our first three sources, is Kaddish is not being directly linked up to mourners, it's specifically seemingly being linked up to study of Torah as opposed to some sort of elevation of soul. Source number four, Teshubot HaGeonim. Now the Geonim are our link between Rishonim and Gemara for all intents and purposes. And so this anonymous source, which we're dealing with probably around the year 800 or so we're post-Gemara time, and something seems to have changed already. Says here it says in source 4, Heve yodea ki kaddish hu yitkadal. So firstly, David, it refers to Kaddish as Yitkadal, not as Yehe Shemei Rabbah, which is interesting. Lo masanu lo ikar al hamet. We don't find explicit sources that link it up to the deceased. So specifically, Kaddish could be linked up to death, but only if there's eulogies prior, or if there's Siddu Kadim, which is a specific prayer in terms of commemorating that life. In other words, Kaddish, the question, what they're bothering, the implicit question, is already clear. The Geonim are dealing with, grappling with, well, is this connected to death? And their response is, no, not really, not connected to death, unless there's Torah with that death. Shekoma kom sheyesham divrei Torah onina harein amen yesh merabah v'chenes bedchen siddu kadin. So his argument is the only reason we do it at funerals or at cemeteries or all that sort of stuff or at eulogies or at, I don't know, arayat is because there's divrei Torah, it's being spoken.
Yeah,
So this means that there's already going to be Hag at this point.
Seems so. He doesn't say that they're saying it 12 months.
Well, it's indicative.
It's indicative of some sort of connection to death. That is no question, which is already interesting. Harambam was living 400 years later. Harambam is living, dies in 1204, has no such mention in his book, Mishnei Torah, or anywhere else, of linking up Kaddish to mourning. None. As a matter of fact, when he talks about what we call Kaddish de Rabbanan today, he calls it Kaddish de Rabbanan as well. He has a completely different nosach. The nosach of Harambam for Kaddish de Rabbanan is a whole lot different than it's the way, if you ever look in the back of Gemarot, the Syrians don't read it, but it's the nosach of the Kaddish for Siyum. It's a nosach that many have at burial as well. It's a rare Kaddish. It's not the one we do on a regular basis. So Harambam has it here. Harambam has, and for many years it was disputed. That's the words beforehand. It's Le'ivne, Kartad, Yerushalayim, Tishpata, all that sort of stuff. And it's in terms of the rebuilding, overt mention of rebuilding of Yerushalayim and all that sort of business. That stuff is the prayer before it. And the Kaddish at the end is also strange if you look at it. So anyway, Harambam has here in Mishneh Torah, in this section of Mishneh Torah, Harambam 30, 40 times over the course of actual Mishneh Torah, is Halachot, he mentions Kaddish in the context of prayer and Hazan. That's how Kaddish is mentioned. Now in the back, at least it's printed in the back these days, he has his Seder Tefillot. For many years it was disputed whether these Seder Tefillot were actually written by Harambam. Today the general consensus is that they were. So here's what he writes over here. He says, Kaddish de Rabbanan. I was telling you in what circumstances we say it. Kol asaram Yisrael. So you need at least 10. Why that we call Davar Shebikdusha, a whole different conversation about what Davar Shebikdusha is. But under certain circumstances, for specific prayers, you need 10 people. Oyeter she'oskin b'talmud Torah she'ba'al peh. Now he already throws in, it needs to be Shebaal peh. Maybe that was implied with this Agadita business earlier. But it can't be or should not be specifically Torah she'bichtav. For one reason or another, we won't deal with now. It doesn't need to be necessarily halacha. There's our conclusion, Avi. Then one of them, whom? Who? Anyone says this Kaddish. So Harambam, again, the late 12th century, still in his realm of the world, he's not even addressing this Geonim type of issue and telling you don't link it. He has no such qualms. He's not asked about it and he's not addressing it. For him, Kaddish is in no way connected to death. So when did it become connected to death? Is that a mistake? Is it is there some sort of development on this matter? So if you take a look at source 6 and 7. Yeah.
Like that he wants all 10 learning. And in other words, if you have 6 people learning, you cannot take 4 people from outside.
Well, you know what we do in order to
now, what
do
we
that
do
today.
Is maybe not what is possible.
I don't know. You know what we do. What we do today in order to fulfill this, just so everyone knows, you ever hear, we do, why are we doing that? So that we're all learning, right? So that we're all learning. As a matter of fact, I had a disagreement with someone about whether we should throw in a Kaddish in a specific circumstance, and so we were arguing back and forth. So I said, but when you do it, the Kahal's not even saying it. So at the very least, they should listen or be saying, they're not even doing that. So you can't even, so even if you want to throw in an extra Kaddish, you have to do it with the proper sketch mechanism. In Kaddishim, no. In Tishbachot, yes. We have Gemarot that say you're not supposed to just throw on merits of God just like that. We do the ones that were mentioned by the Nevi'im and nothing more, nothing less. And
when we say the one after the Tehillim at the end of the prayer, we're yes. supposed to say the Bihanayah.
You either say Bihanayah or you don't say Al Yisrael, or you don't say Al Yisrael. The way it has become today is Al Yisrael became the Kaddish de Rabbanan, and Yehesh Lama is Kaddish Yatom, and you'll say that afterwards. But
so
you're
that's
right.
Okay.
That's the minhag. It's minhag. If you go to our earliest sources on this matter, like Harambam would not be so excited about that.
Then I'd like to say Al Yisrael after Tehillim.
I understand. He's saying, according to Harambam, if Harambam walked in when everyone's saying Tehillim, he would say they shouldn't say any Kaddish.
Right.
Or at the very least, have it be Hananya. Says Ezra, it's not the way we do it because it doesn't look right and we're comfortable saying a Kaddish, not like Harambam, even when you didn't learn Torah Shabbat. But yeah, Harambam would tell you. I've done it, been yelled at. You know, that's
really?
Yeah, because it's not the Safir. Which is okay. No, you don't need to be frustrated. Okay. You know,
well,
we're going to see right now is development on all this.
How do you say Al Yisrael?
You don't say Adisara.
You don't say
it. No, the way you could, the way you could is you say Bihananya, and then you say it. Okay, anyway, source number six, Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim is another one of these books which dates back, classically, traditionally speaking, we say dates back to the time of the Mishnah. Doesn't date back to the time of the Mishnah. Dates back, the scholars debate it, probably 7th, 6th century, so it's ancient, but it's post-Talmud. It's going to be throwing around and probably actual traditions from the Tanaim as well. So you're dealing with early sources written a little bit later than they were actually said or formalized. And so here, Masechet Sofrim, Bishabbat. So listen to the description here. Hayumit kabetzin yoshevei Yerushalayim. He says, on Shabbat, the people, and this is, as we'll see in just a second, Bizman Shabbat Mikdash Kayam, describing when we had the Mikdash, on Shabbat, they would come together, those who lived, the dwellers of Jerusalem, ve'olin leharabai, they would go up to Harabai, ve'yoshevim ben shnei ha-she'arim halalu. And they would sit in a specific place. It's interesting, you know, halalu. Kedei ligmol hasadim ze lazeh. Why would they do so? In order to... What's the word you like, Jack? Achdus. In order to come together, put their arms around each other and sing Kumbaya. They had Bnei Akiva Snif on Shabbat afternoon. And when the Mikdash was destroyed, hitkinu sheyu ha-hatanim v'ha-avelim ba'im lebet ha-knesset kedei l'gmol hasadim tzelaz. So now the Masechet Sofrim reveals, really, what was that chesed that we're doing to each other, specific circumstances, when there was a tragedy in the life or when there was a specific happy thing. So if there were hatanim or there were avelim, you would try to help them out on Shabbat at this time. Once there was Chorban Beit HaMikdash, what we begin to do, they would come to Knis in order to greet them in the appropriate fashion. Hatanim lekalesan ulehalvotan lebateim. You would take the hatan and dance and enjoy his way, help him enjoy his way back home. Avelim, what about the mourners? Le'ahashik mor hazan tefillah shel musaf. When they finish musaf on Shabbat morning, holech lo aharei hadelet shel beit haknesset. Go behind the door of the knis, or bepinat haknesset, or in the corner, umotziin sham ha'avelim v'chol krovim. And there he would be joined together with all his fellow mourners. Ve'omer alehen beracha. Sounds like the hazan, or maybe the new mourner, it's not clear who, would say some beracha about them or to them. Now the Gemara does talk about, we don't have this any longer, berkata avelim. There was once, but like we have sheva berachot on hatan and kala, they used to have something like that for mourners. We don't really, we have sidukadin, we have hamakom, we have tenuchamum and hashamayim. They used to have some sort of beracha, it's probably what it's referring to. Be'aharkach, omer kaddish, and then they would say kaddish. Who would say kaddish? Sounds like the hazan. Ve'en omrim, and they would not say be'alma de'atid lehadita. That's the nosach, if you recall, that's the nosach at the end of the siyum, that's the nosach about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. You would only, what Harambam called kaddish de rabbanan, the one that you're doing for learning, ela ala talmid v'ala darshan. So fascinatingly, what took place in this Masechet Sofrim is, again, we already brought it closer to mourners, closer to death, but we didn't actually link it. We don't have them saying it. We're not connecting it to the soul of their lost one, of the deceased. We're also still quarantining it to study. And the only time you're going to say it, it sounds like, is Talmid and Darshan, as if you have the study of Torah.
But it doesn't say anything about the study of Torah. It says, Beracha, like tefillah, like a...
I don't know, but it concludes with these words. Unless you're going to tell me it's completely tangential, just threw it in, it probably is connected to earlier and saying, make sure there's some Torah. I don't know what to tell you. What I can tell you is they're still looking to connect it to the study of Torah, at the very least. Yes?
Meaning, was it the Rasha there?
That's what David's asking. That's how I read that. It's strange that it's thrown in either way you read it. But what I can tell you is, regardless of how you read it, even if they stretched it and weren't saying it in that fashion, they're still saying, listen, ideally we want the Rasha. That's its inclusion, I think.
My understanding, meaning the Abilut is on Talmid Makam or on the Rasha?
No, I don't think so. Really? That's how you... Ela al ha-Talmid ve'al ha-Darshan. Oh, interesting. That's how you read that? It's for the person. Okay. I mean, keep in mind, it was not necessary. It does not seem as if the Kaddish was being said for the person over here. It's being said for the... I don't know. It's a cryptic line. Mama? לא, אנחנו לא מבינים בדיוק מה אומרים המילים האחרונים פה במקור.
אני חושב שהוא אומר את המשפט הזה, רק את חכם אומרים.
כן, ככה קורה עזרא גם. אוקיי, ייתכן. Regardless, even all the more so. Im Korim et Zekacha, so we're saying that it's Kaddish is really said for specific people. But that would be an early source for saying it on a person, unless the person is the mourner, and not the one whom you're mourning for. It's not clear. It's not clear, but we do seem to be linking it to Talmud Torah in some sense. Surah 7, Masechet Sofrim elsewhere, and Yod Chet Yod. That's the mourner. So what's that last line?
If you want to explain Al also, that they are the
That's what I'm suggesting to you. Right, that's what I'm suggesting to you.
But they have to read Al Midah HaKamim to say.
Okay.
Not that they taught.
Good, but what I'm saying is if you read it like that, we're still not saying it for the deceased. We're saying it for the mourners. And it's part of our nehamah to them in some way. Mm-hmm. Surah 7, Masechet Sofrim elsewhere, B'tfilat Arbit, En Adam Shomea Lechaveiro. This is describing the way Tisha B'Av should be, or the way Tisha B'Av once was. On Arbit, nobody really heard each other. Everyone prayed very solemnly and quietly. They wouldn't say anything out loud, it sounds like, in terms of those out loud responsive prayers. Aval B'tfat Shachrit, what about on... Now, pause for a second. Tisha B'Av. What a day to say Kaddish. I mean, that's the day to say Kaddish. It's a morning prayer. It's about the stress, about the loss, it's about when we rebuild it. Says, but in the morning, you still wouldn't extend the prayer to have the external, almost joyous prayers. Or at the very least, these were inappropriate for the day of Shabbat. Inappropriate day of Shabbat, Kaddish.
Because it's talking about the greatness of Hashem.
Because it's talking about the greatness of God. Because it's talking about Yemel to Mashiach. Because it's talking about hope. Because it's not. No, but that's the point. Because it hasn't been linked still to any death. It hasn't been linked to destruction. As the day wanes on, as the things become, you're ready for more nehama. So again, we've pretty much made it, at the very least in the Sephardic lands, up to the early 1200s, and we've seen little to no link of Kaddish to mourning, to the deceased. We haven't seen the Ashkenazic lands, but we have seen the classical sources, so they took us almost to the year 1000 before we're really dealing with the split between Ashkenaz and Sfarad. And we don't really know where this thing comes from, so what's the first, to the best of my knowledge, source that starts to link this? It's a long, long midrash that is cited in Sidur of Rokeach. Now, who was Rokeach? We mentioned him even last week, I think. Rokeach is Rabbi Eliezer of Vermeiza. Vermeiza known as Worms, right? So in other words, it's in Germany. And Rabbi Eliezer was the student, known as the Rokeach, he's the student of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. We discussed this group, the Hasidei Ashkenaz, right? Those German pietists. And they're living in he dies in the early 13th century, but they're living really in 12th century. So they're contemporaries of Harambam, on the other side, metaphorically speaking, of the world. They are completely different than him. They have different outlook on halakha, on hashkafa, on philosophy, on Talmud, and so forth, on all sorts of matters. That is these Hasidei Ashkenaz, and he's assigned to this family and legacy of Hasidei Ashkenaz. And so here he is, he writes a tefillah book. We have his Sidur, I have his Sidur. And in the Sidur, now this is recorded by other Ashkenazic sources from around the same time, in Mahazor Vitri and some others. It says, Vahiyatom Omer Kaddish. There it is already. So he's already reflecting the Noag of his time. So again, late 12th century, mourners are saying Kaddish. We've seen no mention of this. Here it is. Yitkadal, Yeshemeh, Yitbarach, Yeshalam Araba. Those are words that we're very familiar with in our Kaddish. So he asked the obvious question. Now, if you asked someone that question today, the answer would be simple and easy. Of course it's to elevate the soul. I mean, what else? Why would he not? Who else would? I mean, the question is almost funny if we look at it in retrospect. What type of question is that?
What was to accept at the moment of your despair to accept that Dayan Emet?
It's a nice answer, but let's see what he's going to do.
What's the first words we say when a person dies?
I understand.
We say Dayan Emet.
I understand. So, do we say Kaddish?
You can't at that moment because you're the...
Because you're on in. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, here's his answer. Mishum ma'aseh she'aya. And now he goes in to tell a very long story. We'll read it quickly, this story, this midrash. He says that he found it in Tana de Eliyahu. Tana de Eliyahu, again, is one of these late midrashim as well. And if you look in Tana de Eliyahu today, you won't find this story there. Where will you find this story? In all of the rabbis from this generation. They all cite this story. Where did it originate? Some source that they had floating around
all
them.
All rabbis in Germany.
all the German and French rabbis. Yeah. For some reason, Rabbi Akiva, like other rabbis at that time period, used to walk through cemeteries. So here's Rabbi Akiva walking through a cemetery. So he bumps into this person who's black, as black as a coal, and he's carrying a load, 10 loads full of stuff. And he's running as fast as a horse. Rabbi Akiva says, "What's going on? Stop!" Why is it that you're doing such burdensome labor. If you have some sort of cruel master, I'll get rid of that master. I'll redeem you. I'll pay him off. And if you're poor, I'll give you money. I'll make sure that you don't have to work like this. This fellow in this midrash responds to Rabbi Akiva, please, Rabbi Akiva, I'll ta'akiv any. Don't hold me up. Sheme yirgezu alai otam hamemunim alav. Or Alai, maybe it should say, right? It says, maybe those who are appointed over me will get angry at me. Amar lo mazo mama asecha. Says, what are you talking about? Who are those appointed over you? What are you doing? Amar lo oto ha'ish metu. He speaks in the third person. He says, that person died. Chol yom v'yom shulchim oti lachtov ve'atim v'sorfim oti v'hem. And every day they send me to go chop these wood that you see on my shoulder, and then they burn me in them. Hamar lo, so Rabbi Akiva responds to this Nebuch guy. Bini, ma haya melachtecha, melachtecha ba'olam shebata himenu. He says, what do you do when you lived in this world? Why are you getting treated so badly after life? Hamar lo, gabay hamas hayiti. He said, I collected taxes, ve'ayiti menashe ha'am, ve'noseh panim la'ashirim, ve'orei ganiyim, and as a result, I would favor the rich people. I would be bad to the poor people, and as a result, nobody liked me in my lifetime. I was the communal tax collector. Amar lo kelum shema'ata min ha'memunim alecha im yesh lecha takana. Says, did you hear from those in that world that you're living in now? If there's a way to fix your circumstance, are you going to have to be continuously burning? Amar lo. So this fellow responds, bi'akva bebakasha mimecha al te'akveni. He says, please don't hold me up. Shemei gizu alai ba'ale pura'anut. Maybe those bad people, those evildoers to me now in my, I don't know, hell-like state are going to do worse to me. Shoto ha'ish en lo takana. I have no way to fix myself. Ela shema'ati, however, I heard one thing. Mehem davar she'eno yachol lihiyot. I heard something that's just impossible to happen. She'il male haya le'ani ze ben shehu omed bakal ve'omed baruchut Adonai mevorach ve'onin ahara baruch Hashem ha'mevorach. Okay, stop for a second. He says, but I heard if I have a son who says Barichu. We're expecting right now the words to be Kaddish. Says if he'll say Barichu, and they'll respond Baruch Hashem Vorach, or Yomar Yitkadal, Ve'onin Aharav Yehesh Meraba, or he'll say Kaddish. Wow, either or. Barichu. Barichu sounds like Hazanut. Sounds almost as if we're talking about the quality of prayer over here.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's possible. Miyad matirin oto ha'ish min ha'puranut. That's what will help me out. Oto ha'ish lo yiniach ben ba'olam. And now the story continues, and finally Rabbi Akiva finds out that his wife was pregnant and she gave birth to a baby, and he goes and he finds the baby, and the baby has not gotten a proper milah because everybody hated that person. And he finds the baby, and he does brit milah on him, and he raises him and rears him to know Torah and mitzvot. He gets him to be called a rabbi. It's called Rabbi. He goes to the Bet Knesset, and here I am in the bold words at the bottom, ve'emido lifnei ha'kahal. He now, once he educated this child, turned him into a good Jew, he puts him in front of the kahal, ve'amar baruchu et Hashem ha'mevorach. And this child, as a hazan, says, baruchu et Hashem ha'mevorach, ve'ana ha'kahal baruch Hashem ha'mevorach. And everyone responds, and then, yitkadal yeheshem erabba. So, fascinatingly, this is our first connection, and this is the connection. Says Rokech, you want to know why we say Kaddish for the Yitomim? You want to know why Yitomim say Kaddish? This is it! This story, but more than that, this story, not only is it a midrash, which is a fantastic story, more than that,
it's not even sourced.
The midrash itself doesn't even only talk about Kaddish, the midrash talks about Barichu. More than that, look at finally what he does. He says Barichu, and then segues into Kaddish.
We do it the other way,
but what does that even mean? Does it mean that these were one entity? There is a suggestion, there's a mahlok, there's a dispute, I should say, amongst the historians, the Jewish historians, as to how to read this and several other sources, whether once upon a time, the way it worked was, Kaddish was just a either beginning or ending of Barechu. It was just Barechu. So you had Kaddish because it's Tishbachot, because it talks about all sorts of beautiful things. It was just part of Barechu. In other words, this statement over here has nothing to do with Kaddish per se. It has to do with Barechu more than anything. It has to do with that segment of prayer being Hazan. In fact, I mean, we'll skip to this for just a second. You go to the last source 12, Sefer Ha'itim. Sefer Ha'itim is written by this 12th, if I'm not mistaken, rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, from Barcelona, and he says, V'hamiltai, he's not talking about our issue, he's talking about the Noag and the Bet Knesset. Nahagu kol Yisrael b'chol bate knesiot. Okay, at least in Spain, or at least in Barcelona. Leshev b'kovid, rashehem kifufim, he says they would sit very seriously. B'sha'a she'omea shaliach sibur barechu, as the shaliach sibur would say barechu, v'hen omrim, and how would they respond to barechu? Yishtabach v'yitba'ah. It's almost as if, like Ronnie says, we go in the opposite direction, the opposite order. But this was a continuation. Professor Tashma doesn't read this in the same way. But regardless, what does come forth, regardless of how you slice it and specifically how you read it, comes forth is that even the core midrash is not per se suggesting Kaddish as the text. It's more, let this be a circumstance, a situation in which your hazan, in which you're praying. In fact, the end of this midrash as well, we'll talk about that in just a second. The end of this in source 8, it says, V'chen masati, this is rokeach betana deve Eliyahu, rabba katan ha'omer yitgadal, matzil aviv min hapuranut. So rokeach, maybe reflecting what he sees, maybe look at him. He says it's about saying yitgadal, which is a fascinating thing. In other words, he ends the thing with the midrash, in which there was no specific mention of only Kaddish, not saying Kaddish. And in fact, things then begin, at least based on our sources, to develop in terms of canonizing this as the source and in just explaining the Noag of the Kehilot, so much so that it will reach the Sephardic lands. Yes?
Why is a katan here?
Even a katan, I assume it means. I don't know. I don't think it means specifically a katan, I don't know.
But if this is the entire point of the story, was that his son was a lost soul.
And then
he was able to redeem his father, not just by saying
By learning Torah, by saying Kiryat Shema, by being called Rabbi, the story, no question at all.
We picked up only on the Kaddish part of it.
Not we. Rokeach picked up on that. But David, and that's what I'm trying to point out, is the irony here is that even the story that Rokeach is telling us, the point isn't even Kaddish there, but he tells us the point is Kaddish. Now, why is he telling us the point is Kaddish? For one of two or more reasons. Either he sees some sort of mystical explanation to Kaddish, which links him to it. He's coming from this pietistic sect in which they're very drawn to the mystical side of matters, and as a result, he draws the attention. Or, alternatively, he's just looking around and says, this is what everyone does. I'm trying to just explain why everyone does this.
And this story is not in the Gemara.
No.
This is the first time we see
it. The first time we see it.
Rabbi Akiva doesn't say anything about
it. In other Midrash. No.
In a land of Christians and people who inflicted pain on themselves.
So I don't know. I think we're going back early. I mean, listen. Kaddish per se is prior to real Christian dominance. In other words, Kaddish per se, generally speaking, the Gemara's Kaddish, forget about this Midrash, the Gemara's Kaddish is probably from the Hadrian period, which is a lot prior to Christian dominance. Yes, it is in a time of persecution. Yes, it is in a time in which we're looking forward to Yemot HaMashiach. But to argue that its origins, or even this, is a Christological...
The whole story of internal damnation and lighting and fire, Christian. That you're going to go raise a soul, Christian. Connecting it to the
Yatom
is a Christian concept.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know.
There's no
halachic
Christian
way. That's it. Now, Rokeach is accepted as a halachic person. Rokeach says, recall his opening question. Why does the Yatom say Kaddish? He doesn't say, Rabbis, Rabotai, I want a new halakha. The Yatom should say Kaddish. He says, why does the Yatom say Kaddish? So he's reflecting what's being done.
When is this written?
Early 13th century.
It's been around for some time.
Sometime in Ashkenazic lands.
Yeah.
Because Harambam's not writing about this.
No, but it seems like it's... From the Gaonim, story. It seems like it's...
Seems like the Gaonim, they were connecting it to death. At the very least, they were saying it at the funeral, at the cemetery. We don't know that they were saying it.
No. He was saying the only time that it makes sense for it to be connected to death is at the funeral
and cemetery,
implying
right.
that maybe. There were times that they maybe. Were connected to death maybe. Outside of them.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, his student, the student of Rokeach, Or Zarua, I think his name was Rabbi Yitzhak ben Moshe, I think he lived in Vienna, he says, he's living a little bit afterwards. V'chen Masa Mori, he's quoting from his rabbi, Harav Rabbeinu Elazar, we generally call him Eliezer, Mivar Maiza, de Tanad Veliyahu, Rabat de Katana, Omer Yitkadal, listen to how he recounts it, that if Katan says Yitkadal, Matzil Aviv Minapuranut, it's about saying Yitkadal. Sefer Kolbo, which is, again, Ashkenazic source, but later, 14th century, late 13th century. Alzeh, ve'alzeh, he first quotes this story. He quotes the Rokeach and all that sort of business. Pashat haminhag. Pashat became widespread. Lomar beno shel met kadish batra, kach shenem asar chodesh. So it's a mention of 12 months. Gam lehaftir benavi. V'yesh mitpalim kol motzei shabbat filat arbit. This is what I referred to at the beginning. Why every and Motzei Shabbat they would say Arbit, they would be Hazan for Kaddish. Lefi, they're Hazan, I don't know specifically Arbit, they're Hazan, yeah, that's what Rabbi was mentioning earlier, right. Lefi Shebe'ota Sha'a Chozrim L'Geinam Arishayim Sheshabtu B'Shabbat, and so forth. In other words, there's some sort of mystical reason as to linking Arbit to the Yatom. So much so that Maran in Shulchan Aruch in Siman something, I don't know, something, I don't remember. Whatever. I had it. Maybe Nun Gimal. Anyways, Maran Shulchan Aruch, he addresses this matter and says, and I heard it's a mistake. He heard it's a mistake, and if you test his sort, what's clear is that Maran sees this happening around him. And now he's living in a melting pot of sorts in Tzfat, in which he sees Ashkenazic and Sephardic Kehilot. But this sort of minhag has reached far enough that the Sephardic Kehilot have begun to do this as well. Not only have they begun to do this, there's an Ashkenazic source, I think it's Maharil, in which it says, well, one time we were praying Arbit on Saturday night, Ma'ariv on Saturday night, and there was no Yatom in the synagogue, and we didn't know what to do. It became so much a part of what they did that when there was no Yatom, they didn't know that you could put up a regular person for Arbit. It became so much of what they did that they came to putting up Ktanim for Arbit. Why Ktanim? Because they're mourners. But that's Bedi'avad. But a mourner needs to be up, so they would override the mainstream halakha of not having a katan bi hazan, a person below the age of 13, in order to make sure that the mourner's up there for Kaddish and Arbit on Motzei Shabbat. Now again, if you just put everything together, and we'll cap it off with one last source on this matter, put it all together, it's just a fascinating, again, now I will point out before I even review it, that when we hit 16th century, which we will not in this class, and I don't even know if we will in the next class, that's when the rise of Kabbalah and the rise of mysticism in terms of its dominance over Am Yisrael takes hold, and that's when this is really going to take full force in all communities. Because once you link it somehow mystically to the importance of the neshama, well, that's it. The rest is history, certainly, in terms of, no, but for better or for worse. In other words, that's just going to be the reality. But if you look at the earliest sources, A, they link it to Talmud Torah. B, they do not link it to a yatom, to a mourner specifically. And C, the earliest sources in terms of linking that are 12th century Ashkenazic lands. But quickly and rapidly, it makes its way to Sephardic lands as well. But even those sources are flawed, quote-unquote, in terms of their appropriation. Look at Chacham Vadia Yosef here in She'elot Teshuvot Heleke Siman Nuntet. So he's already in the context talking about Kaddish. He cites this Midrash, and then he cites several others. His purpose is not my purpose, but I'm using him here. Says I'm using his bikiyut. Ubizor Hadash. It says in Zohar Hadash itab ma'aseh hanal. It's got the same story earlier, but some of the details of this story that we read in source 8 are a little bit different. Should be Akiva limedo lomar ha'haftarah bebet haknesset. That what did Akiva teach him? Not just barichu and yitkadal. Taught him to say haftarah v'chena asa. And that's what he did. V'himshich v'limido Torah ad shegadal b'Torah v'nisbach b'Torah Rebbe. V'az nigla hamet b'halom etzor b'akiva v'amar lo. And after he was called Rebbe, and he learned how to say Torah, and he learned how to say Kaddish, then, and only then, not just from saying Kaddish, then the niftar comes to Rabbi Akiva in a dream, and he says to him, Rabbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yenechamcha kefi shenechamtani. God should would console you the same way you consoled me. Ki b'sha'a she'amar b'ni ha'haftarah. when my son said haftarah. I mean, what, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for when my son said kaddish. Hifkiu mimeni din geinam. Ubshaa she'avar litpalel ve'amar kaddish. And when he was hazan and said kaddish, karu li gezar dini mikol v'chol. That's when my judgment got even better. Ubshaa she'nit hakem b'niyam. When my son went even further and became smart and knowledgeable in Torah, ve'usmach al yadcha, he became a rabbi. But itiruni bechitram shasadikim. I got even the highest elevation. So in other words, the Zohar, which we expect to be talking about the elevation of soul in this context, but even the Zohar doesn't say, well, it's just the kaddish. And even in the context of kaddish, it's about the growth of the child in terms of prayer, Talmud Torah, in terms of his growth as a Jew. Ubesefer Ochot Hayim, if I'm not mistaken, that's an Ashkenazic 14th century source called Bo, we saw earlier. Ne'emar b'maaseh hanal, she'amru lo b'shamayim, she'itzal ta'niftar, she'hasalat ta'niftar tihyeh, im beno yomar alav kadish, oh, she'yaftir b'navi. You want to know how to save the niftar from the same story? Either say kadish or haftarah. And that's how you say it. So in other words, even if, and this is the punchline at the end, even if we are to take these sources which are being brought forth and forced into the mainstream in order to explain why we're linking this to the mourners, even those sources themselves, as Chacham Adyah points out, are not necessarily centrally focused, unilaterally focused on Kaddish per se as some sort of magical prayer, as opposed to Kaddish being part of prayer, as opposed to growth as a Jew, as opposed to growth in terms of Talmud Torah. So in short, give me 1 second. So in short, Kaddish in its history begins in Talmud, linked directly to Talmud Torah, ends in terms of its modern day application based on things that seem to have just been changing post Talmud times. But even those sources themselves caution us in their implicit fashion from confusing Kaddish with some sort of mystical and magical potency-filled prayer, to understanding it in the context of, well, what is this all about? It's about growth. It's about Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about understanding yourself, understanding the world, and learning Torah and becoming a better Jew. And as a result of that, meriting as well. Baruch Hanad Alam.